God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
A warm and hearty greetings to our listeners. Thank you for being with us. This is Pastor Larry. Revival is real, but it is costly. It takes consistent effort, prayer, and total dedication. When I think of the revivals of the past, I see that people prayed, planned, counted the cost, and fed the fire that the Lord had ignited in their hearts. I'm reading about the Boston University professor who was crushed to death by an elevator in her apartment building when it suddenly dropped, trapping her between the floors. A man who witnessed the accident had to be taken to the hospital for trauma. A resident said, "I heard someone that was bringing in a package out in the hallway, and then I heard an ungodly scream. Then we ran out into the hallways, and we saw a gentleman who was obviously in distress. He was screaming and hyperventilating, saying, 'She's dead, she's dead.' You know, friends, life can be terminated very quickly and unexpectedly. The Bible tells us that we must redeem the time, for the days are evil. One of the best ways to redeem the times is to work for revival. I do believe that God wants to bring revival and that God can bring revival. But in the economy of things, a lot depends on God's people. Life is short and often uncertain. Let us work and pray for revival." We live in an age of uncertainty and confusion. However, one thing is absolutely clear: we need to return to the Lord. Our guest for this show and the next is Reverend Kevin Jessup. He is co-leader of The Return, National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance. Thank you, Kevin, for being on with us.
Thank you, Larry. It's such a great opportunity, and I'm so blessed to be on with you. And thank you for opening at prayer before we came on the program. I thank the Lord for this, so it's good to be with you.
Amen. Well, Kevin, you have a very significant background, I think, has prepared you for your Ministry of Global Impact. I'm reading here that you're an executive in the business world, and the Lord has given you some unique gifts for ministry in a time such as this, to quote from the book of Esther. So maybe tell our listening audience who you are, how you have developed this burden for national and international revival. And I think you are involved in youth evangelism. So share a little bit with us, brother.
Oh, praise God. A lot of people don't know who we are, so they have this question. And going back to 400 years ago, Pastor John Robinson, who led the Pilgrims as the Pilgrims pastor on the Mayflower, that is my great-great-grandfather from 10 generations of 400 years ago. My great-grandfather, Charlie Robinson, was a circuit-riding preacher in 1913 in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and was one of the iconic men who signed the charter that created a denomination we know today as the Assemblies of God. And so from an early age, at the age of 16, I was traveling with an evangelist by the name of Phil Enlow, and I had gotten saved on a mission trip to Mexico at 13, and I started traveling with him at 16 and took my last 2 years of high school through correspondence. And there was a reason for that, because I was a bad boy, but God had saved me and transformed my life. And through those years, I'm 60 years old today, but 40 years ago, even 44 years ago when I was traveling, I started doing a PTL with Jim Baker back then, and working at TVN with Jerry Bernard, who's one of my closest friends even yet today, who hosted the TVN program back then. And he was the first guy that Paul Crouch hired. And then I worked with Jimmy Swaggart ministry back in the day. So I lived through all of those debacles and issues, and God's a God of restoration. And then in 2012, I began to work very intimately with Reinhard Bonnke, who had moved to West Palm Beach. And I was asked by Reinhard to host his personal Bible study, which was a vision cast for America to be saved. And it was during that time that going to Reinhard's home and praying with him early in the morning and developing a relationship with him, that the integrity and the humility and all of the visions that God gave us started this return process. And in 5 years ago, I hosted an event at the United Nations on persecuted Christians, and for 6 hours, 35 people from around the world came to speak at that event, and I keynoted that event, and Jonathan Cahn came, and we began talking and praying about the return, or what we know today as the return, back 5 years ago. And so for the last 5 years, we've been meeting and praying and And like Habakkuk says, write it down and then run with the plan. And that's what we've been doing quietly under the radar, waiting for this time. And September 26, 2019, God told both of us as we met in Jonathan's office in New Jersey that this year would be the time. And so all the work, all the prayer that we have been doing together led up to where we're headed in a week. We'll be in Washington, D.C., loading in and preparing for one of the greatest days of turning in the nation and around the world that we've ever known. So that's a little bit of a background for you.
Well, I think that's really impressive. And I know as I've been looking at the material that I've received, there are a number of faith leaders involved in this movement. General Boykin, a tremendous man of God, Carter Conlon, Times Square Church in New York City, Alveda King, Pat and Gordon Robertson, Steve Strang, we've had him on the show, and several others. So we're really excited about getting into this and letting people know about the return. So tell us, what is the return?
Well, the return is a special day, and actually Rabbi Kahn's going to be unpacking this prophetic mystery that we've uncovered in the process of all of this, because when we decided to do the return, I told Jonathan it needs to be on Yom Kippur, with the 10 days of awe leading up to that from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, which is Day of Atonement, and actually Shabbat Shuvah, which is known as the Day of Return and Repentance, is actually happening the 25th, which we have a Return Next Generation meeting on the 25th from 6 to 9 p.m. with great people like Pat Boone and Nikki Cruz and Mike Lindell and many, many others. Danny Gokey will be ministering in song. So the 25th through the 26th are the 2 days known as Shabbat Shuvah. And those are based on the scriptures, the ancient texts of Joel 2, Micah 7, and Hosea 14. And actually, Shabbat Shuvah is the day of return and repentance. So we're actually doing the return on the actual day of return. And so it couldn't have worked out any better. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. And so we're coming as the righteous remnant of the body of Christ to stand in the gap for the unrighteous, to pray before a holy God in reverent fear for his mercy, for him to rend the heavens and come down with his promise of the latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection power, without that, we can do nothing. And we are nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. So this day is a special day where we humble ourselves as the church, and we seek his face, and we pray, and we repent, and we petition God. And then in the evening, after all of that, with these tremendous leaders, including Ann Graham Lotz and so many of the names that you've mentioned, that as we do that as a church, this is not a day of speaking. This is a day of prayer and repentance. This is a day where we come in total humiliation before the Lord, and we ask him to have mercy on us in the judgment we're already in. And we, quite frankly, we deserve it. But this is a day, a special day, where the body of Christ can unify and come together for this main purpose. And 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9 just says this. I'll read this and then I'll pause. For this very reason, make every effort to add your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. And brother, I was there. I was the worst sinner of all. And so I thank God for his long arm of salvation. I thank God that he saves us and keeps us, Larry.
Amen. Well, that's so exciting, and it seems like the Holy Spirit has just really quickened the desire for cleansing and purity and just coming before the Lord, emptied of self, and Lord, just fill us, empower us. I think that's so key. But Kevin, why right now? Why is this movement being held right now?
Well, it was ordained by God from, I believe, you know, before the times of the world. And I actually believe that we are now in a Nineveh moment like Jonah. Jonah went into Nineveh, and he said, you have 40 days. And during these 10 days of awe, we're exactly 40 days from an election, that the outcome of this election will affect America in such a way that when America's affected, that the whole world will be affected. And so, and I'm not, this is not political, it's not partisan. This is a spiritual moment, because no government, no education, no military, nothing can help us now but the hand of God. And so it's crucial. You know, we're like in the second revolution, in the American Revolution, 3% of the people fought the battle. 10% of the people actually supplied them with ammunition and food and supplies. 37% of the people actually fought against us for the British, and 50% of the people did nothing. And today, Larry, those numbers are eerily true, because half the people are not in the battle, and a third of them are fighting against the very principles and foundations of God's word, which was the foundation of this incredible nation that we have known as America. And yet there's still a remnant. God always has a remnant. And there's a righteous remnant who've been hidden in their prayer closets, hearing the call of the Holy Spirit, that now is the time for the redeemed to say so and arise with the spirit of Elijah. Because Isaiah says that there's a point coming where the Lord says, I will arise for the sake of my own name. And God is about to do that. He's about to arise. And when he does, there's going to be this sovereign move of God. We're going to see a wave of salvation mixed with the fire of the Holy Spirit that's going to sweep across this nation. And God is still on the throne. He's still in the business of being in charge, praise God. He is not, this is his harvest, but it's our mission. So we're about to see the greatest seek and rescue mission of souls ever. We're about to see prodigals who once had their first love in Jesus, who've grown cold and indifferent. God's about to revive them and bring them back in. This is a day when the lukewarm in Christ just can't be lukewarm anywhere. You're either all the way in or you're just going to miss this. And so God is on the move, and he's about to stand up and do something for the sake of his own name. This is not about a ministry or a man or a denomination. The return is not a concert. It's not a performance. It's not a glorified prayer meeting. This is a historic day where we come in reverent fear of God. We bow before his holy name, and we lift up his name. We lift up the finished work of the cross that he's completed. We walk in the authority that's been given to us by the redemptive blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary. And we walk in the infusion and the infiltration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And God alone is doing this within the body of Christ. There's no one that can unite the body like he has and is doing right now. So we're very grateful just to be a part of it. We're simply setting our sails to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit as he's moving.
Amen. That's a beautiful thought, because I think there are windows of opportunities you speak about. Maybe tell us a little bit about the Kairos time that the Bible speaks about, the opportunity, and why we should rise up right now like you guys are doing.
Well, praise God. The word Kairos is an incredible word, and it's the Greek word for opportunity as it appears in scriptures, and that's Kairos. The scholars tell us, Larry, it means a favorable opportunity. Its derivatives imply that it's the right moment, which lasts only for a while. Kairos means a God-given opportunity is being offered to mankind at a very specific moment in time. However, this word implies that there's a risk of faith. In other words, as time moves on, the opportunity can be missed. And so the test for us as a people is to recognize it and respond in obedience to the one who's offering it, trusting in his ability to work through and fulfill his purposes through us. And we're living in that Kairos moment today. We believe that working together in unison under the leadership of Jesus Christ will be honoring the appeal of the Apostle Paul when he said, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity amongst yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even as he prayed, Larry, in the upper room with his disciples that last night, he said, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. And we're in that moment right now.
I know there's a question that many of our listeners would like to ask, and that is this. Is this movement, the return, is it a political movement?
Absolutely not. This is a movement of repentance. This is a movement of us humbling ourselves, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Humbling ourselves before a holy God and seeking his face like Moses did when he went to the rock the second time and God revealed to him who he was. And 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? And Paul was warning us that now is our personal kairos. This is, we're living in the times like the men of 1 Chronicles 12:32 understood the times, the men of Issachar. And we're called to understand our times and seize this moment. And actually, Larry, in Latin, the word opportunity means toward the port. And in the ancient world, seamen used it to describe the time when the tide and winds were favorable to make it safely home to port. And when that moment came, they would set their sails to take full advantage of it. And in the same way, as when God is at work as he is now, we must wake up to this opportunity and catch the wind. So this is not political. I know that people are going to spin this to say it's a Trump rally and that it's all about the election. But quite frankly, this is about a spiritual moment in the bend of a nation to come before the Lord. Because without the intervention of God's hand, we have no other hope. He is the only hope we have.
Well, our guest for this program has been Kevin Jessup. He is an advisor to national and global leaders within the business, political, and faith communities. He's speaking about a special event, the return. Our announcer, Matthew, will come and tell you more about that, and we're going to have Kevin back for our next program. We're going to also talk about how you can be involved, what you can do. We'll give you some really wonderful specifics. So, Matthew, please come to the mic and share some of this stuff with our listeners.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new book and DVD by Jonathan Cahn titled The Harbinger 2. You may have heard him on our show recently. You can have a copy of this new explosive book for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. To get your copy, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order it by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order it on our website at swrc.com. We also have the DVD with the same title, The Harbinger 2. You can have a copy of it for a gift of $45. This is a 8-DVD set, over 8 hours of great information. Better yet, get both the book and the DVDs for a gift of $65. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Despite the shutdowns and COVID-19 restrictions, there are some amazing developments taking place, especially in the Middle East. President Trump has brokered peace and fostered open relations and trade between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, and also the tiny nation of Bahrain. The latest item of encouragement is that Sudan's transnational government has agreed to eliminate Islamic law, or Sharia, making a separation of religion from the government.
The agreement, signed in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, ends 30 years of harsh and restrictive Sharia as the governing law in Sudan. To quote the agreement, "The state shall not establish an official religion. No citizen shall be discriminated against based on their religion." The agreement develops the idea and says, quote, "For Sudan to become a democratic country where the rights of all citizens are enshrined, the constitution should be based on the principle of separation of religion and state, in the absence of which the right to self-determination must be respected," close quotes.
The accord ends decades of conflict in Darfur and the border states of Blue Nile and South Kordofan, which left hundreds of thousands dead and millions more displaced. Sharia had been established under dictator Omar al-Bashir, who was removed from office by the military in April of 2019.
Sudan is now emerging from international isolation. The African nation has been on the United States list of state sponsors of terrorism since 1993. The United States has conditioned Sudan's removal from the list on its normalization of diplomatic ties with Israel. Israel's Mossad chief, is believed to have met with a top Sudanese official in the United Arab Emirates. Islamic leaders in Sudan, however, have openly opposed the changes, insisting that the government continue to ban other religions.
We usually don't think of Turkey as a Bible land or having a Christian heritage, but that land was a major focus in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3 are in Turkey. From Breitbart.com, August 21, comes a report that's troubling, yet not surprising. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has ordered that a second ancient Christian church be turned into a fully functioning mosque, just 1 month after a similar decision to prepare Istanbul's Hagia Sophia for Muslim worship. The 700-year-old Kora Church, which was repurposed as the Carrier Museum in 1945, will be converted into a mosque and open for worship following a presidential decree published in the Official Gazette on Friday, August 21st. The president's decree states that the administration of the building has been transferred to the Directorate of Religious Affairs and will be opened for Muslim worship. The Church of the Holy Savior in Kora, known for its exquisite Byzantine mosaics, was constructed as part of a monastery complex in the 4th century in Roman Constantinople, now Istanbul. Some 50 years after the Ottoman conquest of Constantinople in 1453, the church was converted into a mosque, and the building's precious fresco paintings and mosaics were covered over with dye and lime. Nearly 500 years later, the building was transformed into a museum by a decree from the Council of Ministers in 1945. At that time, the secular Turkish Republic carried out extensive restoration work on the building and its artwork before turning it into a museum in 1958. Like Hagia Sophia, the building has been designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Last month, President Erdogan announced the opening of the Hagia Sophia to Islamic worship after Turkey's top administrative court, the Council of State, ruled that the building's conversion to a museum by modern Turkey's founding statesman Mustafa Kemal Atatürk was illegal. In November 2019, the Council of State ruled similarly that the conversion of the Kora Church into a museum had been unlawful because it violated the Ottoman declaration of that building to be used for Muslim worship. Erdogan's decisions regarding the fate of Hagia Sophia and Kora are deemed to represent an effort to appeal to Muslim voters after the president's party lost the Istanbul mayoral election in 2019. Daniel 11:36-39 describes a day during the future tribulation when the Antichrist will be in control of the world. Ultimately, he will erect a statue of himself in the temple in Jerusalem, turning it from its present intended purpose, just like we are seeing in Turkey. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Hi, this is Jerry Tyson from Southwest Radio Ministries with a very important and special appeal to you. The upcoming election is going to be the most important national choice in all of history, since Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," back in Joshua 24:15. In 2 Chronicles 7:13 through 15, we read an interesting promise given directly from God to Solomon, the political leader of Israel, about 3,000 years ago. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. While we're not dealing with Israel and its temple, there is no doubt there is pestilence among us. Our nation is ready to be destroyed by the socialist and communist locusts who want to devour the America our generation was given. God asks us to do 4 things, and in return, He will do 3. We must humble ourselves, pray, seek God's will above all else, and turn from our personal sins. If we do, God promises He will hear us, forgive us, and heal the land. He added the promise that He will be alert to hear our prayers. We're going to call this the My People Initiative. Between now and November, we will be reminding you not only of the need to vote with biblical values, but to stir your friends, your pastor, and congregation to not sit this one out. Consider the 2 candidates. Neither one is qualified to be your pastor, but only one is qualified to be your president. Start a new habit. Each time you thank the Lord for your food, remind Him of His promises in 2 Chronicles and dedicate yourself to being what He wants you to be so He can answer your prayers. Join us in the My People Initiative, and thank you.
That's going to do it for us today. Don't forget our special offer. Our special offer today is the new book and DVD by Jonathan Kahn titled The Harbinger 2. You can have a copy for a gift of $25. To get your copy, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order it by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order it on our website at swrc.com. Thanks for being with us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Kevin Jessup conclude this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.